Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another SC report, and it is a massive one because how good is Queensland? Huge win last night. That second half was tremendous. And on tonight's podcast, I am joined by a fellow Queenslander, not JT, but a guy you might be familiar with who writes a captain article every week. Lakey, how are you going, champion?
Mate, after last night, I'm freaking outstanding. It was an absolute belter of his game, wasn't it?
Mate, that was fantastic. I was there. Quare was a little bit quiet early on, but the second half, I don't know what it looked like on TV. I still haven't watched the replay, but the crowd got into it so much with the Queenslander chant, and you could just see the players, particularly the forwards, lift, and defensively, they were outstanding.
Absolutely. Straight out of half time, you could see the change in the Queensland attitude. We were putting the blue guys on the back foot, tackling them, you know, 15 times within their 20 metre line. It was just like a switch had been flicked, and all of a sudden we were a different team. It was brilliant.
Fantastic. So 1-0, mate, going into Perth. It's going to be very interesting what happens.
Yeah. So I know they've done the old, the neutral ground a couple of years now, but Perth's a new one, isn't it?
I don't think they've played one there, but they've got that brand spanking new stadium. So, I mean, if I hadn't already done a big trip this year, I would definitely have penciled in potentially going to Perth for that weekend, taking the Friday, Monday off. I've never been there before.
Mate, I'm surprised you're not anyway. You've done the overseas trip. You've done the Magic Round. You've been to Origin the other day. Does your salary sombrero no bounds?
Well, do you know what I'm doing tomorrow?
Oh god, what are you doing?
So I'm on a 6 a.m. flight to Melbourne tomorrow, mate. So got to work down there tomorrow, but then I have the weekend to go to a football game. Going to watch the Blues and catch up with a lot of mates. So it's going to be another fantastic weekend by me.
Jesus Christ, you're like the Sydney Roosters of the NRL Supercoach team.
Yeah, Uncle Nick looks after me.
If it's our Uncle Nick, I don't believe that for a second.
Okay, so you are the captain guru. How is your article coming along?
Yeah, mate, it's doing well. I say, obviously, it's not out today. State of Origin's put that back a day, with everything else. I'm just putting the finishing touches on it tonight. So if you hear any tapping throughout the episode today, you'll know what that's about, but I'll try and keep it to a minimum. I'm not great at multitasking anyway.
Can we give the listeners a bit of a preview of who your top pick is for the weekend?
Is it going to be a secret after what Lolo's been doing the last few weeks? You can't go against him, can you?
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, other guys I'm very keen on. Andrew Fifita's got a great matchup. I've thrown in a little bit of Anthony Milford for you, mate. I know you're a bit keen.
Don't tempt me.
Some decent matchups and some shocking matchups. There's also a shocking game, but we'll get to that.
So how is your season going overall? This is your first podcast of the season. I think you started a little bit slowly, but you've been creeping up in the rankings.
Yeah, so I had a you know, bouncing around between somewhere in the 9,000s and early 2,000s. After Magic Round, you remember we're at Magic Round and everyone's busting out those 1,300 scores.
Yeah, I remember this. This is hilarious. Yep, go.
I pumped an 11:58 on the back of Ockhambor. It was a shocker. I mean, if If we hadn't have been there watching Ponga, I probably would have necked myself.
Oh, mate. Well, but, that was tough.
Yeah, we'll say I dropped down to about 10,000 after that weekend, but I've bounced back a couple of 1,300 scores, and then 895 last week in the buy round has pumped me up the rankings a bit. So happy days again.
Good stuff. All right, well, it's good to have you on board. Thank you very much for taking over for JT for a week. I reckon we can cut this podcast down from an hour to about 30 minutes. So that's good, mate. And no Cowboys chat as well. And we can actually talk about
cut it by half anyway.
Well, yeah, we can actually talk about the club that Ponga does play for now, which is the Knights, not the Cowboys. So, all right, what's ahead on tonight's podcast? It's pretty packed, as you would imagine. We had Origin last night, Teamless Tuesday. Obviously on Tuesday, but there's a whole heap that's happened over the last 48 hours. So we've got a heap to get through as per usual. So we're going to start with Around the Grounds. Then we've got news. That's going to take a little bit of time, I think. The Wilders Dog Unpopular SC Opinion of the Week. And then the two-minute drill, a heap to get through there. And it's going to be really, really important for round 16. And then we're going to finish up with our Your Fired segment. So let's just jump straight into the first segment of the podcast.
Around the Grounds.
So this wasn't a fantastic weekend for me. I lost a few players to Origin and took a risk on, I don't even know if I'd call it a risk anymore. It was an absolute shocker, mate, with Tuppany. I don't know what happened there. That was disgraceful effort by him and Ricky Stewart to only play for, 30-odd minutes. I never saw that coming. So I ended up with a 758, finished with 24, and I'm sitting in the rankings 24, 53 overall. You did quite a lot better than me.
Yeah, I took another risk and I brought in a couple of the cheaper guys just to get some numbers up with Walker and Tor'or. Shout out to AP on Twitter. He'll be all over us for getting that wrong. They performed well enough, but, it wasn't outstanding. But, yeah, the 895, very happy with that. That's pushed me up into 25-31 for the year, as I said, on my way back up to the top end.
Yeah, you're very, very close to me. So you're doing quite well, and I'm going to be going full steam ahead for round 16. I don't care if I burn 10 trades between here and there. It just needs to be done.
You've got 11 to burn, so be safe if you only burn 10. But more importantly, on my rise up the ladder, I've jumped JT, so you're getting a bit of success on the show tonight, well, considering what you used to.
Yeah, that's not hard, mate. He's been having an absolute mare this year. I've actually been made
at least he has the Cowboys to fall back on.
Oh, yeah, they're doing well as well. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing he does have going for him at the moment is he's part of the Young Legends League, which is coming fourth overall, so that's fantastic. And then we've got our Wednesday podcast battle, Catfish and also Bear, two overall champions against a bunch of battlers, JT and myself. So the SC report, total points scored this year, 27-228, and we're trailing a little bit, lost a little bit of ground last weekend to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast, 27-399. So they're in front. Bear is absolutely killing it this year in the top 400 again. He's an absolute gun.
Yeah, mate. It's a funny old bet you guys have got going, and Bear is carrying that team to no end. I think he's getting dragged down a little bit by the other has-been that's been on there.
Mate, I was always pretty confident because it's got Wilfred in it. And I think out of the year that he finished in the top, or he won the whole thing. I don't think he's finished in the top 1,000. So definitely has been carried by Bear. And also a shout out to another ex-champion as well, Banyo. He's also killing it this year. I think he's in the top 300 as well. So he's having a fantastic season.
Yeah, mate, you can't keep a good man down. Banyo does fantastic things every year, it seems.
He does.
This is the news.
As is expected, after an Origin game, there is a heap of news to get through from a player perspective, and also just a heap of news outside of Origin as well. So let's just touch on the Origin fallout. There's been bits and pieces of news coming out probably in the last 5 hours, about who's going to be in, who's going to be out. So what do we know right now in terms of the players that are going to be missing?
Big one for me and for all super coaches is Ponga is out. It was always going to happen considering his debut Origin last year. He backed up 6 days later and pinged his hammy and was out, you know, for a good chunk of the season. So they weren't going to risk him 2 days afterwards. But he's a huge out. We know Cody Walker's out, which is surprising because he barely played.
Caught a cold, mate. Caught a cold.
Yeah, sitting on the bench over there in Suncorp. He's played as much as you did by the looks of it. Offa Gowie is out with his knee.
That's a shocker.
He caught a laceration or something.
Yeah, with the stud.
I didn't quite catch it. Yeah, so it's obviously done some damage. He's out for up to a month, apparently.
It's a shocker. He was really good last night, too. Both the young Broncos forwards and Fifita and Offa Gowie, I thought in the second half they played a significant role.
I was a bit shocked that Fifita got picked considering he barely plays for the Broncos, but he was outstanding off the bench for us last night.
Yeah, I can definitely see him having a huge second half of the season, and he's, as we like to say, one to watch for the run home, Lakey.
Absolutely. I say I'm not watching him, mate. In draft, I've got him firmly in my side, and I'll be keeping a close eye on him.
Mm. And then the Roosters, we've just heard, I think they're going to be resting two players and then two players after Origin. It seems like Cordner is the most logical player to miss. And then, well, we don't know. It could be a Latrell or a Tedesco or something. And either one of those players would hurt because they're very highly owned.
Yeah, if it's Teddy, it's going to kill a lot of teams. I had a look back last year. The Roosters players, none of them backed up after game 3 last year. So Robinson's got a history of resting his boys after the big games. I mean, I just kind of wish we knew who it was going to be.
And it's a shocker as well. They play at 4 o'clock on Sunday because there is a Monday game, don't forget, this weekend. So it's an absolute crazy. If they don't back up, then they never will. 4 p.m. on the Sunday, that's almost a 5-day turnaround. So you'd expect that they've surely just got to play. But yeah, who knows? And the annoying thing is that we won't be able to, you know, if we're looking at who's going to cover us, the obvious option is probably an RTS if we don't own him. And that would be a trade for me of Corey Allen to RTS on the Saturday afternoon. And who knows if we'll know then what that actual Roosters lineup will be.
Well, that's true, but you could do a whole lot worse than trading Corey Allen to RTS, I tell you that much. You'll have to make that trade on Friday because the Corey Allen's locked in after the first Friday game.
Yeah, the other option is to shift C&K into fullback, and then you could also play one of your centre wing reserves instead so you don't cop the Allen AE, which would be handy. But yeah, it's very tricky with them playing the second last game of the weekend.
Yeah, mate, I like the CNK option personally. Having a look through my captain's article, the Tigers are giving up 50 points a game to opposing fullbacks this year, so CNK could be in for a good afternoon. So he won't be the worst option if you do have to flick him. But again, he plays early, so you're going to have to make that call early on and then just hope.
Yeah, well, I think majority of people will be playing them in the centre wing, but it's just a matter of trying to sneak him into your starting fullback so you're not copping that AE.
Exactly.
So the rest of the speaking of CNK, so the Raiders players look like they're all going to back up, which is great news. You've got Cook, Murray, Cleary, who have been confirmed, and also Morgan, and then all of the Storm players have made the trip over to Auckland as well for the game against the Warriors. So that's impressive. I thought that there definitely would have been a few of those guys missing out. And then unsure, we're pretty much not hearing anything of the Manly players. And then anyone else that we haven't mentioned so far is, we won't know until probably tomorrow afternoon, I'd say.
Well, on Twitter, Barry Toohey from Newcastle Herald, he's got his finger on the pulse of all things Newcastle. He tweeted that Clemmer got through fine, so he might be leaning towards being in. I'd be surprised to see Kotrick back up after that injury he suffered late in the game. I reckon he'll get a rest.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, the reports were today that he wants to play, but we'll just see how it goes. Okay, so let's just jump into the major team news, starting with South. You've got James Roberts, who's going to debut. Sam Burgess, he's going to play, but then he's going to head into surgery. So he's going to miss rounds 14, 15, and 16, but that's a bye. Might also miss 17 as well. And then you've got Adam Reynolds, who is out, and that looks like it's a pretty bad injury. Could be out for an indefinite period.
Yeah, that's a shocker, considering he was worried about a fractured leg just before the Origin, and he came through that unscathed, and now he's out with, they're saying, a fractured back.
Yeah, he can't take a trick, that guy. He always seems to be injured.
Unbelievable.
He could have been very close to Origin selection this year as well, so that's a shame for him. For the Sharks, it seems at this stage that Wade Graham is more likely than Shaun Johnson. I think the Sharks have got a five-day turnaround after this game, so the signs are pointing towards that Graham will be an inclusion, but maybe Johnson won't make the cut.
It'll be great to see Wade Graham running around again, won't it?
So the Eels, that's pretty big Supercoach news here as well with Nathan Brown and the reserves, and reports are that he's probably likely to make the side, and that impacts, you don't know who it's going to impact the most out of Sean Lane or Manu Mao.
Well, they've got Tepo Moroa playing at lock at the moment, which is usually where Nathan Brown plays. So, you know, if he gets up to the starting side, you'd think Moroa would be out. But I think he comes onto the bench. He'll be eased back in a little bit. But, you know, he's a huge in for the Eels, and he's a huge in for our Supercoach sides.
Yeah, he's a massive in. I mean, that's 60 minutes that's going to have to get generated in the back row. So Lane and Mao playing 80 minutes there. Surely one of them has to lose some minutes, though.
Yeah, definitely. Unless they start playing Brown as their backup hooker, which they've done in the past.
Yep, fair enough. So we'll find out now. I mean, with the bye coming up as well, neither of those guys are probably people that'd be looking, particularly Lane, he's someone that you're probably looking to move on over the next couple of weeks. For Manly, you've got Tom Trbojevic, who's been named. We're going to talk about him a little bit later on. For the Raiders, Jordan Rapana is back. Hudson Young is out suspended for 5 weeks, which is good for my boy Tappany, but we'll see what happens with minutes.
You're going to ride that train to the death, aren't you?
Well, it's 350K now, mate, so it's too. I can't sell him, so I'm just going to hope that he plays it right for the next month or so and grows in value, and then just trade him to maybe a Jake Trbojevic.
Well, wasn't he only halfway through the game last week and got hurt again?
No, he didn't get hurt at all. He just was...
He just was absent. Well, that's worse.
Just absent. He was just taken off for no reason after about 15 minutes, then didn't come on until there was about 10 minutes to go. It was shocking. But he scored over 30 points in 20-odd minutes or something. So getting through a lot of work. So hopefully he gets the 50 minutes this week. That would be lovely. For Manly, you've got... we're done Manly. For the Cowboys, Michael Morgan has been named at fullback to replace Jordan Carr, who is out for a couple of weeks. And I think that's basically it there. The Titans, Joy Arrow, returns after missing the game before Origin. And quite sad and interesting that Ash Taylor has been... came out today that he's on personal leave. So there's obviously a little bit going there. So... best wishes to him, and hopefully he sorts everything out.
Absolutely. He's obviously going through a bit of things, and he's copped a lot this week after that decision late in the game to hand off the goal kick. But nothing but the best for Ash Taylor. He's a fantastic young kid, and I hope he pulls through.
And for the Panthers, you've got Viliame Kikau, who returns after being a late out due to illness. And then a couple other positional changes within the back row, with Martin dropping back to the bench. And also, that's about it, I think, from a team's perspective. So is there any other news that is floating around, mate, that we need to bring to the attention on the podcast?
No, nothing huge at the moment. I was keeping an eye on the Cowboys situation with Scott Drinkwater, because there was the potential for a mid-season switch, because they obviously need a fullback. But it looks like that negotiations are on hold because the Storm are trying to get something back in return. So nothing out there at the moment. No. Just everyone sitting on their hands hoping that teams fall their way.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only other news floating around at the moment is the Aussies are getting absolutely belted in the World Cup right now. I think when I last saw it, they were 4 wickets down for about 35 runs. So an absolute horror show there.
Unbelievable. We're either world beaters or we're just numpties. There's no in between with us.
Yeah. Oh, well, then the breaks, my friend.
Yeah. Well, it could be worse. You could be a Carlton supporter.
Anyway, let's move right along. So now it's time for the Welder's Dog Unpopular Supercoach Opinion of the Week. This segment is proudly brought to you by the Welder's Dog, a fantastic brewery from Armidale in country New South Wales. Tonight's beverage to me is their stouts, the perfect tonic for a cold Brisbane winter's night. I know that you probably haven't been fortunate enough to have your hands wrapped around a Welder's Dog right now.
Mate,
have you tried one yet?
I'm looking directly at a farmhouse ginger beer.
Whoa.
I found a little spot called Craft on Old Cleveland Road at Cooperoo,
yep.
Right next to the Coles there. Specializes in all your fancy beers and wines and stuff, and they sell a Welder's Dog ginger beer there. So I stopped in a couple of times. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a craft right next to me in Red Hill as well, and I think they're related. So that's a fantastic one. Free plug, Craft, if you're interested, we're more than happy to take you on board as well.
Mate, I'm visiting there every Thursday at the moment after my mum's place at Cooperoo. So they're getting some business.
Well, we're always open for business here as well. So, let's start with you, mate. You're the guest. You just give us a wrap. So what's your Welder's Dog Supercoach unpopular opinion of the week?
We're heading now towards round 16. After getting through the big buy round, we're heading towards the next one, and that's when we start looking at all those players that we're trying to get in to you know, survive, climb the rankings and whatnot. But my Welder's Dog unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week is that Eason Masters is not a must-have for round 16.
Interesting. Go on.
Mate, he's a gun player. There's no doubt about it, but he's just not putting up the numbers at the moment. You've got his last four games, he's scored 29 points, 68 points, including two tries, 70 points, including a try and about 20 in conversions, 48 points with a try. He's not getting through the normal work. I don't know what it is about the Tigers. They're just not scoring as well as they are. So as much as he is one of the better options for round 16, I don't think you probably need to rush out and waste a trade in getting him. There's a lot of guys around the traps at the moment. You got your Nakoras, your Cherries, your Herberts, Lomaxes, Capewells, who a lot of people started with if they're still around. Katoni Staggs is an option coming up to that round 16. You don't need to bust your team apart to get an Eason Masters at the moment. When you look at the run home, are you going to be playing him over Nakora, Bateman, Gutherson, Latrell, any of those guys?
I'd probably have him definitely in the top four center wings. I mean, I've got him, and I was very happy to pick him up a few weeks ago. So, I mean, I think he's definitely one of the best center wings to have for 16. But with a break even of 73, I don't think you need to go out and get him. I think you'll be able to pick him up around 15 of that super trade week for a pretty good price. I mean, you're spot on about his base. It's been right down. So just looking at pure base now. So round 8, 19, round 9, 26, round 10, 21, and then he reverted back up last weekend with 31 in just pure base. That obviously doesn't include his goal-kicking offloads and all that other good stuff. But, yeah, it's definitely a bit down on what he's done previously, and it's been very annoying for an owner because he has been scoring tries of late, just hasn't been maximising that with the base.
But that's what I mean. He's always been that base stat beast, and he's been getting up around the 60s, 70s without scoring tries. And now he's getting over the line, and he's scoring less, if anything. I don't see that I want to spend the money on getting him when I realistically, personally, only see him as a 1 week, 2 week play.
Interesting. Well, I think he's definitely a center wing keeper, but you're allowed your take. It's what this is about. This is an unpopular Supercoach opinion of the week. So that's fine. All right. Well, then that's pretty strong for your first one so far. I mean, I think mine.
I thought I'd throw it out there.
I think mine might break your heart, though.
It might.
Well,
I'm interested to hear. I'm interested to see where you go with this. And if you think.
I'm not going to mess with you. I'm just going to give it to you straight up. Kalen Ponga is a sell for now. So he's going to miss rounds 13 and 16. Plus, it looks like he's probably going to miss 17 too because they play on the Friday night again as well. So I've just working through some numbers today and say trading him to Milford, which I'm looking at, and even if Milford was to average 55 through from round 13 to 18, that's gaining me 100 points during that time. And I, you know, where I'm currently sitting and how tight it is at the top of the table, I think that's pretty handy to be able to grab those points, and it's a lot of money to be sitting on the bench for 3 weeks.
I cannot disagree with you more. I absolutely cannot disagree with you more. You want Ponga for your final team, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. So round 18, I'll be trading him straight back in. Milford to Ponga. Done.
Yeah. Milford, what do you say? He's going to be averaging around 55, which he'll go, what, 50, 60K, close that gap?
Let me just pull it up now. I can do exactly what he's going to be, what his price will be at that time. So let's just say average is 55, which I think is reasonable based on what we've seen since Dearden has come into the side. So if we go have a look at that now, so around 14, 15, 16, 17, he's going to be priced, he's not going to be too dissimilar to what he is now, really. He might have actually dropped a little bit. He'll be floating around about that 492, probably down to around about 460 or something like that. So the key with any of these trades, though, for me, is to not go spend that cash. So I've already got $1 million in bank at the moment, so I'm not desperate for coin. And then that money from Ponga down to Milford, that's just a key for me, is to not go and then blow it and to have that couple of hundred K sitting there for round 18, and then just to go and to go and buy him. So the idea is definitely not to go without Ponga for more than two games, effectively.
Well, let me put it this way. Ponga has, he got the fullback jersey back in round 4. He's averaged 90.8 points since that day. He had 118 2 weeks ago, 112 against the Roosters. He now has a break even of 16. If he plays two more games over this break that you're considering, he's going up in price from 755. That's going to be an expensive get back.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm looking at a break even of 50 at the moment. So where are you getting the low teens from?
Where am I looking at? I'm on Supercoach stats.
So break even at the moment of 48. He's got two back-to-back 48. Games. 118.
My apologies. 112. Yep.
That price is already sitting at 755. So you work out, let's just say, excuse me, I've just done a nick.
Jesus, Nick, calm down.
Yeah, let's just look at this again. So let's just look at Ponga. So obviously using NRL Supercoach stats, a fantastic resource which we use all the time. I'm going to say
I absolutely punish this site, mate, so I can't recommend it enough.
I'm going to say that he averages 85 in rounds 14 and 15. So if I'm looking to trade him back in, I am probably saying that he's going to be cheaper. Well, he'll definitely be cheaper than what he is now. Based on the calc. So I think that he'll have a break even of 90 after this one if he scores 85 this in round 14.
Okay. Yeah. So, no, I can see the appeal of the the money, the cash in. It's gonna be hard to get him back, I think. And you don't want to be without him for too long.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got a huge man crush, so there's probably no way you're talking me into this one.
Oh, mate, I absolutely love him too, do not plan to go without him for more than two rounds. And I just, hoping that Milford keeps on scoring or averaging at least 55 to 60. He's been scoring 70 every second week at the moment, which is really good, and hopefully he'll have a big one this weekend against the Titans as well. So for someone like me who had an absolute shocker in round 12, it's the kind of moves that I need to make because the vast majority will be holding on to Ponga.
Yeah, exactly right. I say it's a bit of a pod move. Just as an aside, if I can talk about Ponga one more time, he had 101 Supercoach points in last night's game. Absolute star.
Well, 101 Supercoach points, but he was also had about 100 points in just sheer brilliance just from being did stuff that wouldn't have given you a Supercoach points as well. It's just absolutely brilliant.
And he lost points for getting run over by Latrell late in the game, so he could have been better.
Jesus.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You have questions, we have answers. It's question time.
Okay, so it's that time of week again, the 2 minutes rule, where myself and Lakey are going to spend 1 minute on each question. So I pulled together a few of the hottest topics of the week in Supercoach world. And then we're not going to dribble on, 1 minute each, and then we're going to get through them. So Lakey, straight to you. The question that I have for you is, despite the buy ahead, should we still be looking at the likes of Fenua Blake, Bateman, and Fisher Harris this week?
Absolutely, you should be. These three guys are tops in their positions this year. Fisher Harris at 65 is the worst of them. You've got Bateman at 69 and he can play in the center wing. And Fenua Blake at 71 average in the front row. Those are huge keeper numbers. So, yes, I say as someone who's bringing in Bateman this week, I can absolutely endorse looking at those guys. The only caveat to that is that you can't get them all before the next bye because they've all just had their bye. They're all going to be on bye in round 16, and that'll kill your team. So, yes, I'm definitely looking at these guys this week.
Fair enough. I'm actually looking at JFH ahead of all of them. I mean, he averages close to 70 at lock, and if he's going to stay there, he's a definite keeper for the season, and he's available close to 510,000, which is outstanding value at the moment. Fenua Blake is a lot more expensive than that, and then Bateman has break-even in the hundreds as well. So, I mean, if I was going to pick one, it'd probably be Fisher Harris. He'd be the one that I'd go with. But as I alluded to before, having missed that, having a shocking round 12, I'm just going full steam ahead for round 16 and try and get as many players as I can for that round to make up, hopefully, around about 300 points would be ideal.
Yeah, understandable. And say Fisher Harris is a gun player this year. He's one we all miss. So get him in when you can.
Okay, next question. Tom Trbojevic is back. Lots of press this week. But should we be trading him in, Lakey?
No, you should not. He has a break-even of just 41, so he looks very tempting. When he came back after his hamstring strain last time, he dropped something like 152 and then followed up with 50-plus in a half before doing his hammy again. And we've sat without him ever since. So I think you have to wait and see how that hammy goes. And you give him a week or two, and then he misses round 16 anyway. So, yeah, absolutely. I say you just got to wait on him. I'm not trading him. I'm not looking at him until he proves that he's back and he gets through that bye period.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to add to that. So not for me either. Numbers for 16, he's not going to be one of them. And we've got somebody like RTS, which is just having an outstanding season. He's a few years separated from that ACL. And he's just incredible this year. And I have heard some people say that they're going to make the trade from RTS to Turbo and say 18-19. And, I think that's a little bit unnecessary the way that RTS is going. If you've got a guy that's averaging close to, 70, 75 for the season at fullback to join Tedesco, then I don't really think it's worth the trade to move from Trbojevic. But, each to their own, I guess.
No, I'd say I'm getting RTS as soon as I can. Won a 75-point average. He won the Dally M last year, and he's playing better than that this year. So he is killing it.
Yeah, so he's got a break-even over 100 this week and also faces the Storm, who have conceded the fewest amount of points to fullback. So it's a good opportunity just to wait a week and pick him up next week for a lot cheaper.
Absolutely.
And just speaking about high break-evens, the next question here is that the gun coverage options for round 16, such as RTS, Cameron Smith, SJ, TKO, Mamalo, just to name a few, they've all got very high break-evens. So they're all over 100 or very close to 100. So my question is it worth waiting for their price to drop or just get them ASAP?
No, I'm waiting. These guys are all on my short list of guys to not only bring in for 16, but to have for the rest of the season. You got to make the most of your money. And that's the way to build the best team. You're not going to get it perfect every time. Like there's, five guys you've just listed there, and they're probably all going to drop their BEs in the next week or two, and you're not going to be able to get them all in. But there's no point blowing all your bank on them when they've got a high BE. So I reckon you just wait. You could probably save 30 to 40, 50K per player, depending how they go in the next week or so. And as you said, RTS and Mamalo both play Melbourne this week. It's a tough game. So, you know, you're going to save yourself cash and you're going to be better in the long run.
Yeah, I think all of those guys are definitely players that you want for your round 16. I mean, SJ is the query probably out of them all, just really from a you know, an injury front. And you've got the likes of a Milford and also a Moylan that are options too. So, but the rest you want. But yeah, round 15 looks like a fantastic time just to go bang, bang, bang and bring in all these guns as long as you've got the bank.
You've got five trades between round 15 and round 16, I think. So it'd be a great time to just load up.
I agree. Okay, so the next one, is Katoni Staggs a buy?
Mate, this is a better question for Wilf, isn't it?
Well, he loves him, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. As I say, there's been some chatter throughout the WhatsApp, the group chat this week, and Wilf is all on it. I can see the appeal. He's a nice, cheap player, plays in round 16, big and strong. You know, he's averaging just 33 points per game, but 81% of that is just purely in base. So it's a solid platform to work for, and the Broncos should be better than they have been. But in saying that, I'm not going anywhere near him. I'm the same as you. I've got, you know, close to a million in bank, and I'm looking to just upgrade my Garricks and stuff to keepers. I don't want to start getting in the cheapies. I did that already this year. I'm looking to come out the other side stronger.
Yeah, you know, I do agree with you again here. I think that all depending on what your team structure is and what you need, I don't think he's the worst buy, but I wouldn't be going out of my way to downgrade just to make some cash rather than to bring in a gun. And you've got the likes of a Kurt Mann that's now going to play fullback this weekend and also will play fullback in probably round 16 too. And he's got a break even of -9, price of 240K, and you know he could score almost double what Staggs would do. So he's not a bad option too. And then Ewan Aitken is surprisingly below 300K as well. So if I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick either of those two guys over Staggs.
You sound a bit like JT here, mate, don't you?
I don't know. Why is that?
A sneaky rumor during the rounds that JT has brought in your man, Kurt Mann, this week.
Ooh. Well, I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. It's better than Wade Egan, so.
Well, Jesus, you couldn't make that mistake twice in a season, could you?
No, it could. And a mistake that I didn't think that I would make twice, three times, maybe four times so far in my Supercoach life is Milford time. Is it time?
No chance.
Really?
No way.
Okay, go.
No. This will be the first time we disagree, so this is where it gets exciting.
Cool.
He's always been better with that steady in half next to him. He played far, far better with Ben Hunt in the side. So it allows him to play his free roaming, his running game, pick and choose against those tired forwards. So definitely been better with Dearden in the team next to him. You pointed out that he's averaging, 70 in the three games that Dearden's played?
No, so Dearden's played, I think, since round 7, and he's got scores of 75, 47, 97, 24, and 72.
24 is the game I'm looking at. They beat the Roosters in that game, mate.
Yeah, but they don't concede points to halves as well.
Well, his game in that one includes a field goal, so that's 5 points. It includes some forced dropouts, which are a couple points each. The big stat for me on Milford in the last few games is he's running the ball less than 5 times a game. So, yes, while it frees him up to play his game, he's still not running.
Yeah, that's actually, I didn't really consider that. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the attacking stats, which he's getting from running. But, yes, that's a very good point that you've made.
Yeah, mate. I say, when he's at his best, he is brilliant, but he's got to be running the ball to take advantage of it. And I'm just looking at it now. Last 5 weeks, he had 2 points, 8 points, 6 points, 6 points, 6 points in hit up eights, and then 1-1-2-1-2 in just plain hit ups under eight. So that's like 4.5, 4 times a game he's running the ball. It's not happening.
Fair, but he's also then had 62 points in create, 20 in create, 46 in create 3 weeks back to back as well.
Yeah. So what did he have? 20 in create of the 24 that he scored that game?
He scored 47 that game. He had 20 in create.
Okay, fair call. All right.
So I mean, I'm probably going to take a gamble purely because, well, one of the big tipping points for me is that they played the Titans this week, who are just leaking points left, right, and centre. And then they play the Eels, which haven't been in fantastic form, and then play your boys away from home. That'll be a difficult one.
Yeah, so they'll get towed up in that game.
So I don't think it's a... there's only one game at Suncorp Stadium until round 17. So that is a bit of a concern because at Suncorp Stadium, since Dearden has entered the fold, there's a 75, there's a 97, and then a 24. So that's a pretty good return at home. So yes, concerning, but he's got a big game this weekend. And if you look at the Broncos' run home, from round 17 onwards, they've got six of the final nine games at Suncorp Stadium. So to me, that, you know, screams that he could be a really, really strong pot option for the run home.
Yeah, I didn't actually realize. I'm just looking at his stats now. I didn't realize he's averaging 50 points or, you know, this season.
Yeah.
He's doing better than I expected him to, which I guess goes to show what I think of him this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got a three-round average, you know, almost well, over 60. So he's ever since Dearden comes, since Nicaremus, he's been a different player. And I think he's, yes. he's even looked, confidence-wise, he's looked completely different too. So over the first 6 weeks of the season, would not have gone near him at all. But yeah, I think he's worth, it's worth the risk for round 16, and then you potentially keep him for the season and then look to maybe move a Moylan or a Dearden out to Ponga to make that happen.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. So you're on your own on that one, possibly with Wilford, but I'm not going anywhere near it.
So we've already spoken about Ewan Aiken a bit, but that's the next one here. So what are your thoughts on him? Is he an undervalued gun?
Can be. Do I want to take the risk this year? I'm not sure, mate. His last four seasons before this one, he's averaged 50, 55, 53, and 51. But then his coach is Mary McGregor. We've already seen him just like screwing around with the rotations and the benches and stuff all year. Aitken was on the bench for a couple of games. It's just, it's, I don't know, you can take that risk. There's every chance you bring him in so he can play round 16 and he ends up cut or playing a utility role again. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a tricky price range. But I, you know, he has been a proven keeper for your center wing previously. So he's not the worst option. And he does have the ability to get, you know, the really, really high base attacking stats as well for the center wing.
You're fired.
So it's that time of week where we both go through who is going to be leaving our sides or who we are firing this weekend. Lakey? Who is it?
Yeah. Let me get into character. Let's say, I don't want to do JT justice because I know he killed this the first week. Jared Croker traded you in on the back of a 62.85 round average. You're a kicker in a high scoring team, very high scoring team. You scored one of the most consistent center wings in the competition. I traded you in because I needed that guy. You're that bye week player. I needed him. You scored 43 points for me over 2 weeks, 43 over 2 weeks. It has been the worst trade deal in the history of trade deals, maybe ever. You're fired.
That's fantastic, mate. You're placing a tariff, a significant tariff on the Canberra Raiders, it seems.
Mate, I say they're just love them or hate them, I suppose. But as I've been a huge Kroger fan for a long time, so I was eager to get him in, and he's killed me.
Yeah, I was very close to doing it myself, so I'm very happy that I didn't go down and also skipped on Kotrick as well. So that was one of the few good calls I've made this season.
Yeah, mate. So the only Raider that you'd be confident with is Bateman. And,
it's happening.
I stand by my statement.
All right, so I'm not going to get close to your impersonation. That was fantastic. But for me, it's a very, very close call between a few, including Sam Burgess, Corey Allen, and Sean Lane. But as long as Tedesco backs up, that's the only thing that could change things a little bit. It'll be time to farewell the party. The party is over. The cops are called. And Bryce Cartwright, you are fired.
Oh, mate, I would love to be getting rid of Bryce Cartwright this week. Got some other things I need to deal with first, but yeah. Cannot blame you on that one at all.
So if you do, I mean, that break even of 40 is, you would say gettable, but he's shifted to the bench. However, it does get very, very, very scary after that. So if he scores 30, which he has been doing this week, if you just have a look at what's going to happen next week. So his break even after lockout is 92. And then he is set for a massive reduction in price of close to 45,000 the round after, and then we'll have a break even of 75. So if you hold on to him to round 15, he could be priced at around about 337,000. So all of that cash that he's made over the first or over the past couple of months for you could be gone. So the sooner that we can get him out of our sides, the better. I'll be probably looking to move him on to maybe Moylan or SJ this week and just doing a double switch of my halves and getting in Milford and Moylan, I think.
Yeah, mate, I like Moylan as an option. He's been killing it in the 80-minute games he's played this year, and a lot of the attack goes through him. But, yeah, you're absolutely onto a winner by getting rid of Cartwright. I have to hold this week because of the way my DPPs work. But if all goes according to plan and Ponga's back next week, I've been going Cartwright to RTS.
Yeah, well, I'm just if Tedesco's out, then that'll cause a lot of headaches, and I'll probably be forced to bring in RTS a week earlier than scheduled. But hopefully he plays and backs up, and then I can just get rid of Cartwright and Ponga, and then unfortunately that means that Burgess and Lane will be in my side. But you know, one of those guys could jag a try quite easily, so there's no point in trading them out. But I was very much looking for. Well, who knows?
No, he won't. He won't.
He won't. Why are you so? Why are you so definitive on that?
Oh, because he's playing the Knights. I'll just have a look. A little bit of a captain chat for you. Didn't play us last year. Scored 55 in 2017, and in 2016 he scored 135 and 102 against the Knights.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge scores, but you remember we were wooden spooners for the 3 years before that, so we're a lot better now, and he's a lot worse.
And he wasn't running around with a busted shoulder as well.
I am, mate. So he had both arms to work with, so it definitely helps.
Yeah, very interesting. So fingers crossed they can, both of those guys can at least hit 50, which they should. Break even to the mid-70s. It's the mid-70s for either of them, so you know, they're going to see a price reduction likely as well, but all about points for me at the moment. So that's why I'm trying to bring those guys in. So the Sharks play the Eels at home, and then the Broncos play the Titans at home. So I'm expecting both of those players to have large games, hopefully. Before we close it out, let's just maybe just talk on one of your other boys, Mitch Barnett. Yeah, I spoke to you about a couple of days. I'm very, very keen, and he was the guy that I was going to be trading Burgess to. What are your thoughts?
You've talked me into him. I was keeping an eye on him. I didn't realize his break even was as low as it was until you pointed that out. But yeah, he's, I think I messaged you guys a couple of weeks ago and said, is Barnett back? And we've been keeping an eye on him since then. And mate, he's, you know, not knocking out the 90s every second week that he was back in 2016, 2015, but he's putting up some good scores, and looks like there's a good chance he could be kicking. Depends what happens with Mason Lino this weekend. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm all over it. If there's a chance he's kicking this week and he's kicking in round 16, yeah, he's just going to put up some solid scores.
Yeah, I think it's a massive. So what, he's played 80 minutes the past 3 weeks. And then before that, it was 72, 65, and 80. And then across that period, you know, he's scored under 50 once, and he's just been killing it. So his base is fantastic too. So the last month, he hasn't had under 50 points in pure base.
Yeah, and just on your minutes, the 65 and 72, he had HIAs in both those games, which contributed to his lesser time. So essentially, he hasn't played under 80 since round 5.
Yeah,
and when Cuera got hurt.
And available for 500K, averaging 57 points per game this season. You know, I think he's a fantastic buy, and he's definitely an option for the run home too. Is like your 17th or 18th man with those kind of stats, and you know, he's almost the Fitzy of the Knights this year.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They're the ones he's putting in the work, and they're looking to go to him. He's in 80-minute games he's played, he's averaged 71.4.
Yeah.
So if he keeps getting 80 minutes, he's definitely a great, you know, we're probably talking people into him, and he's not going to be the pod that we wanted him to, but, yeah, great option.
I think so. He's the guy that I'll be looking to bring in this week, or was, before the news of Ponga. So I think he, I'll bring him in next week probably.
I'm going to figure out how to get him in, I think.
All right, good stuff. Well, it's been fantastic having you on for your first time this year. That's about it for the SC report. It's we're sticking to our time here. It's just a bit over 45 minutes. So look forward to a massive weekend of NRL. Maybe the stand will be a little bit below what we saw last night, which is sensational. But this week and next are going to prove to be pretty pivotal, I'd say, for Supercoach. So, Lucky, best of luck, and I hope your nights go well tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. I'm looking forward to the game with or without Ponga, I would say. And thanks for having me on. Anytime you need me, I'm here. And just as a shout-out to one of our other boys, keep an eye on Stilesy's Twitter account this weekend. It's going to save your season.
Agree.
He has been absolutely on fire lately and got me out of a few predicaments and just, mate, on the ball, that kid, on the ball.
Absolutely. So set your notifications up and make sure you're following A-Styles, author, twitter.com, and subscribe to the podcast as well. Get them all in your feed as soon as you can. And then we'll speak to you next Wednesday night. JT, I think we'll probably be back. Who knows? He's a little bit crazy, that guy.
Still probably running around Sin City down the coast after watching these boys get up on the weekend, is he?
Yeah, he's having a mad Monday turned into mad week, I think. So he's all right. He needs to enjoy the Cowboys wins when they happen because they don't happen too often.
Yeah, fair call.
Cool. All right, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks again and speak to you all next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.